Chris Sinzak and Aaron Camara.
This is the news of the world. The news of the world.
People seem to like it, so let's do it. It's time for a brand new episode of the Decibel Geek Podcast, and once again, we're doing new noise.
Yes.
You love these, don't you?
I do. They're always fun to do. They're laid back and easy to do. And
we got anything we can talk about today? I don't know. So, stick around for that because we got some pretty interesting news coming up your way.
Yeah.
But before we get to bringing you all the most important news stories in the whole entire world, we've got to take care of our business and our business at hand. Their reviews and recommendations, they come to us from iTunes for now. For now, they come from iTunes. So that's going away, I guess.
Well, it's being segmented.
We'll figure that out when we get to it. But we also get them from Podchaser. We also get them on Facebook recommendations. Yep. So it looks like we've got a couple of them here. So let's check them out. First one goes like this. It's entitled, Longtime Listener, comes to us from Kevin's on Fire, and it's 5 stars on iTunes. Those don't all go away, do they? Will they carry over?
I hope so. I guess we're going to find out.
Golly, we can't start this over again.
No, I would
like
I would
they
hate
deleted
to
all our reviews, and now everybody's got to do them again.
That
nobody's going to go for that. iTunes, you better be listening to this. Apple, don't screw us over on our reviews. You better transfer that shit over because we earned all these. This one, like I said, it goes like this. The last couple episodes have come with no reviews. Aww. So I figured it was time for me to finally write one. I've been a fan of the Decibel Geek Podcast for a long time. It was the very first podcast I ever listened to, and I'm still looking forward to each new episode. Chris and Aaron are down-to-earth, funny, and knowledgeable hosts, and the content is always great. Lots of fun show topics / themes, chocked full of classic and new hard rock and metal. Entertaining interviews with awesome guests and plenty of Kiss. If all that sounds good, then subscribe to this podcast and you won't be disappointed. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's perfect
right there.
Thank you.
Kevin's on fire. I love the
Kevin's
name.
Kevin's on fire. Somebody put him out. But that review is definitely on fire, so let that one burn.
When he listens to us, does his blood boil hot?
I guess it does.
His temperature rises?
I hope so. We got another one. This is a Facebook recommendation. Comes to us from Brian Murphy. This one says, I've been listening since episode 4 was posted. A fantastic podcast. Lots of fun to listen to. Very informed hosts. They know their rock and metal. And best of all, they look for new bands and artists to spotlight. That's cool. That makes me feel good.
Episode 4. That was about a certain person we'll be talking about in just a minute.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
How intriguing. I wonder who that could be.
It was the first of many specials on a certain person.
Well, what we're talking about today ain't special. It's the same old story.
Yeah.
But of course, before we do that, we got to talk about the people that shared and retweeted last week's episode, which was a lot of fun.
Yeah, the Rock and Roll Spirit Animals episode.
Rock and Roll Spirit Animals. What a strange thing to do.
It was fun. It was entertaining, and people seemed to like it.
Did they?
Oh, yeah.
I was a little worried about that because I didn't know if anyone was going to even dig that and be like, what the hell's wrong with these guys?
If you ever wanted to know about sexual reproduction of eagles, then you're good to go.
It is the number one news source.
Yes.
You know, we've become the number one reference for so many different things doing this show. Yeah.
The only place to find sex education and dogs d'amour.
That's right.
All right.
All in the same episode.
What more
could you ask for?
Yeah.
The people that loved and appreciated that, well, they went out and they shared it and retweeted it, and we thank them for it, and we do it by listening to their names because they are our honorary Geeks of the Week.
Yeah, Geeks of the Week this week are Victor Ruiz, DJ Iron Will, Wayne Cross, Joe Royland, Sit and Spin with Joe, CGCM Podcast, Trevor McDougall, Joseph Capone, Kevin Williams. Happy birthday, Kevin. Ridiculous
yes.
Rock Record Reviews. Ken West, Bill Elam, Kristen Schimbeck, Adam Cox, Jeffrey Mendenhall, Sean Cullen, Mike Parnell, David Glenn, Matt Ashcraft, Todd Cunningham, Simon Catt, Mikhail Burrell, Shay Hargett, Mark Alden Taylor, Freeform Rock Podcast, Aaron Baker from The Bakery, Rodney Dixon, Jay Sabluski, Rob in the Hood, Ernesto Aguiar, Mighty K27, Eladio, Digital Kill the Radio Star, David Hudson, and as always,
the Mooger Fooger. That's right. A big special happy birthday to Kevin Williams. If you guys haven't heard that episode we do with him,
Japanese metal.
We explored the world of Japanese metal in Visual K.
That was great.
You got to go back and check that out. I still get messages from people about that. You know, they discovered for the first time and they get turned on to that music. And I always think that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's something we did way back in the day, it seems like, is still coming up nowadays because that was a special episode.
Yeah, he was awesome. Definitely one of our friends that we've made through doing this show.
Yeah, we made a lot of great friends doing this show.
I hung out with a couple of listeners last night. So
that's awesome.
Shout out to Pat Catalano and RJ Jordan. Good to see both
right
of you.
Right on. Those guys are so cool.
All right. So here we go.
So, I mean, do we get right to it? I mean, I'm dying to know. I told you, I don't want to hear nothing about it because it started for me like this. I started hearing a story about a certain birthday party for a guy that we've come to know and used to kind of love here at Decibel Geek. Talking about, of course, the one and only, thank goodness, Vinny Vincent.
Right.
And so the story that I understood was Vinny Vincent announced that he's having a birthday bash that he's selling tickets to, but he wanted to piggyback that with the Rockin' Pod Expo?
Essentially. So here's how it went for me. So like a week or two ago, basically, there's like these two groups, I think one or two groups on Facebook that is, it's like the remaining Vinny sycophants that love, that he can do no wrong.
So there's like 14 or 15 of them in there?
Something like that. It's not that many. Of course, I'm not allowed into that group. You know, I don't want to be in that group, to be honest. But somebody from the group has been leaking the info from that onto the KISS FAQ message board, which is an amazing place, and that's where I get most of my KISS news.
Wow.
I love Julian Gill. He's the best.
A mole in the Vinny Vincent page.
Right.
Unbelievable.
So, like a week or two ago, they posted this update thing from this guy, Steven, that's Vinny's like handler now.
Okay.
And it's funny. I talked to Steven a year ago, and things seemed cool between me and him. I guess we're still friends on Facebook, but I haven't talked to him, so I have nothing bad to say about Steven. You know, if he wants to work with Vinny, more power to him. But
I love so much being a part of this Vinny Vincent soap opera with you.
Yeah, I know. So, essentially, it was a message from him, but as you know, as we knew with Randy and people in the past, you know, messages from people that are with him tend to be from him.
Right? Yeah, they're dictated.
Yeah, that's my assumption. But basically what this said was, you know, Vinny was planning a birthday bash in August in Nashville. And, you know, it would be a thing where he would do, like, songs and stories. He'd bring his acoustic guitar. He would do signings.
You got to pay, like, $500 and also bring Vinny a gift?
Well, I don't know about that. But, you know, he is like, bring your Vinny merch and KISS merch to do buy, sell, and trade. I'm like, that sounds like an expo.
Only five tickets sold.
Well, and they said they were shooting for 30 people to come to this, and I heard through the grapevine that the price point was $300.
Okay.
To attend
so
this thing.
Again.
So I read that, but then I see at the top of the post it says date Saturday, August 10th, venue Nashville Marriott.
No.
Well, there's something else going on August 10th at the Nashville Marriott.
Yeah, that's called the Rockin' Pod Expo.
Yeah,
our number event. Three.
At first, I was kind of like, well, is he, like, is the British, say, taking the piss and trying to basically screw with me by doing this? Because I saw it, I just laughed, and I contacted Joe, my co-organizer, and I was like, this is ridiculous,
have
isn't
you
it?
Have seen this?
Yeah, and he got a good laugh out of it, too, and I was like, okay, this is weird. And but I kind of just let it go. I was like, whatever. You know, if he has it, they're great. And
with the idea of it being like on a different floor or something like that,
well,
or
like
conference room?
The main convention for Rockin' Pod is just outside the building. It's this big domed building that's outside of the hotel.
Oh wow, cool.
And like you walk through the hotel to get into it. But yeah. But there's also other ballrooms. But we will be using one of those other ballrooms for the live podcast sessions all day.
Right on.
Ian and Ralph will be on stage in that area, and that's where every other room to rent is.
Oh, wow.
So,
or I was going to say, Vinny Vincent's birthday party, room 328.
Right. But I just let it go. I got a laugh, and I wasn't even going to mention it. I was like, whatever, you know, do what you want, Vinny. I don't care.
But what I mean, what crossed your mind when you first saw it?
I thought he was fucking with me.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, but I was at the same time. I'm like, well,
it's like, this isn't real, but he's just doing it just to mess with.
Well, even if it was real, I was like, I don't care. Do what you want. But I want nothing to do with the guy.
Of course.
So then the next thing I know, like a few days ago, I get a call from my co-organizer Joe, and he tells me that Vinny's lawyer had reached out to him about doing like some kind of promotional tie-in between the events where it would be like we would promote his birthday thing, he would promote our expo, and like the remaining tickets they need to sell, they would give us the cost of the Rockin' Pod tickets to make some money off of it.
At that point, would we have to change the name to the Scapegoat Expo?
I don't know about that. But and Joe was telling me about it, and he's like, well, you know, he said, I promised I would pass this on to you and see what you thought. And I thought about it, and I hemmed and hawed, because honestly, people buy your tickets if you're planning on coming. Quit waiting around. I mean, they're selling okay, but we, you know, it helps if we know who, how many people are coming.
We always pack it out and everything. For
yeah,
Rocket
it ends
Pod.
Up doing well every
fun.
Year.
It's always the last minute yes. people that are coming up and buying their tickets right. and everything, and it makes poor Chris nervous.
It stresses me out.
His hair was not this gray last year.
No, it gets grayer.
And it
by
wasn't
year.
Grayer the year before that.
Yeah,
so
it'll be
you
green
know,
by
buy
next
your
year.
Tickets ahead of time. If you're going to get them anyway, just yeah. go ahead and yeah. get them now. Just make Chris feel a little better.
Help me calm down. But I mean, always does good, and however it does is fine. But, you know, my event will happen.
Right.
But so I kept thinking about it for a minute on the phone, and then I'm like, you know what? No, I'm not going to do this.
Hell no.
I can't work with this guy again. It's just not going to happen.
Because like I said, all you would end up being is, once again, I was going to have my birthday party right. on August 10th at the Marriott, you right. know, in Nashville. But that hater, Chris right. Sinzak, and his damn avatars screwed it up again, you know. And now, again, it's yeah. somebody else's fault. Chris Sinzak hates me so much that he took away my birthday.
Yeah, I canceled his
Stole
birthday.
It.
But, yeah, so I just said – I told him, I said, go back to the lawyer and tell him that had he not drug my name through the mud and completely lied about how everything went down last year, which he did. I don't okay. care if you believe him or not. Trust me on this. I had no reason to lie. I had nothing to lose.
It's all in the archives,
yeah.
people.
He drug my name through the mud and misrepresented everything that we had set up. And I told him that I didn't want him coming to the event because he was changing things. He goes on and bashes me and makes it out like he bailed on the event. And he pulled out. Not true at all. But I had to explain how I felt that I felt I was being taken advantage of. It's like,
totally.
You know, if you agree
why would
to
you do that twice?
Why agree to something and then try to change the terms? But, you know, look who we're talking about.
And then come back again later and be like, hey, buddy, you know,
yeah,
how
then,
about,
then
how
to
about
come,
this
and I,
time?
And
let's
I said,
partner up.
Tell the lawyer that I don't appreciate the way he acted last year. And in light of everything that's happened this year with things being planned and canceled and all this stuff, I have no desire to ever work with him again, and let him know that. And that's where I left it.
Boy, he must truly see you as some kind of ignorant ass fanboy.
I guess.
That would just be like, okay, maybe this time will be different. Come
yeah.
on. Anybody that can read the news, anybody that's kept up with the recent developments in the world of Vinnie Vincent would be a fool to partner up with him at this
yeah.
point.
And that's
I mean,
my
what
opinion.
Are we at, five or six different canceled events?
Yeah.
I mean, it's getting out of hand, you know?
You know.
And every time something gets canceled, it's a little while down the line, and a new thing gets announced. And
right.
then that gets canceled.
Right.
And then something new gets announced. And then that gets canceled.
Yeah.
Why would you even... you know, it's
yeah,
ridiculous
I have no
to
desire.
Think that you would.
I'll never work with him again. You know, even if he wanted to pay me, I would not work with him again. So here's the thing. As we're recording our other episode...
Wait a minute, I got an idea. What if you got a coin tract?
Oh, boy. Yeah, because those work really well for all those other events. But yeah, so while this is all going on, another friend sends me a message saying, and it's a post from one of these groups, and it says, message from Vinnie Vincent. And this is the first time I'm reading this in full. I kind of look over the broad strokes. So you ready for me to read this thing?
What is this from again?
This is from one of those Vinnie groups. And this
okay.
is supposedly a message from Vinnie.
From Vinnie Vincent himself?
Talking about basically what we said.
Okay.
To all Vinnie Vincent fans, this is my statement straight and from the heart.
All six of you.
Yeah. When Steve came to me with the idea, that's his handler now, of celebrating my birthday with the fans, I loved the idea right off. Euphoria and Legion, which I guess those are the two groups, have become a safe haven for true Vinnie Vincent fans. I love how he always capitalizes his name. These sites were intended to protect the good fans from the relentless internet bullying mobs of hate-filled lunatics engaged in the systematic witch hunt to sabotage my brand name and reputation. You do a good enough job of that on your own,
yeah,
sport.
I was gonna say,
we live in a weird fucking time when a few rejects from the, quote, wanna ride the coattails of Vinnie Vincent but got booted club post well-craft libelous slogans and appear on slimy podcasts to trigger misinformed, low-information Vinnie Vincent fans, Vinnie Vincent capitalized, with lies, propaganda, and fake news. Fake news! These Vinnie fans, Vinnie capitalized, who at one time may have had good intentions, sadly have become aggressive, violent, vengeful, and hate-infected radicals
wow.
due to the ingested bullshit they are constantly fed daily by these losers. As a result, these, quote, lost fans... have become malignant and malevolently obsessive with anything, capitalized Vinnie Vincent, to the point where their desperation finds them at the doors of Legion and Euphoria, spying and doing anything to get in to discover real news, stories, or information at any cost to feed their sickness, which they twist out of context.
Now I want to know who the mole is, damn it.
I know, I do too. It wasn't me. I can't get in.
Even with a fake mustache.
I know. I know. Some have even tried to trick unknowing members to disclose the private messaging between the inside club members. Really? You're spending all your time on this rather than putting music out? Come on. So because of this derangement syndrome, I have reached out to my fans on a private invite basis to share in this special event of my birthday. Well, look who's reading this. At this point, I'm not certain if this fight against this collective insanity is worth any more effort. See, there's the scapegoat thing. So the decision is up to you, the true fans. If we meet the numbers to balance out the birthday-related event expenditures, it's a go. At that point, I am planning some surprises, and it will be a blast. Here we go. It's important for me to publicly enjoy this ride with the fans, whether it's playing, recording, or reconnecting with the fans. But it's getting more difficult at every turn to find that enjoyment based on the above, so the truth is that my appearances may be ending. I'm happy to play, write, and record in private if need be, so it works out one way or the other for me. If my history, recordings, and legacy is all I leave behind because of this cesspool, so be it. I'm fine with that, too. So if you want, grab it now, as this will not be an ongoing event. If you make this happen and want to hear a no-holds-barred, gloves-off interview and more, this will be the first of its kind and the last interview I plan on giving. You really believe that?
Is he going to fly Mitch Lafon in from Canada?
Yeah, maybe. There will be no filming or recording. No one outside the attendees will have any entitlement to witness this event online other than you. Here we go.
Everybody turn in their phones at the door.
And here we go.
Put on your party hats.
This is where it gets good. On a side note, my attorney sent me an email yesterday stating that an, quote, organizer of an event currently scheduled on the same day, August 10th, wanted to promote the Vinny birthday bash in connection with their event.
Oh, wow.
Without remuneration in using the name Vinny Vincent. I said no. My attorney gave them other options which required payment guarantees. I never heard a damn word about this.
Right.
They declined, and therefore I declined anything further to do with these organizers and their events, whether present or future. Bottom line, no one gets to use the name Vinnie Vincent unless they substantially pay for that right. Well, you came to me. The free ride for these freeloaders is over. So anything you hear online stating Vinnie's people reached out to them to promote the birthday bash is a lie. which by educated guess was started by one of the organizers to make themselves look important. Do I look important?
Wow. Yeah, you kind of do.
I am working now to have new Vinnie Vincent merch at the event. Oh, he spelled Vinnie undercase. That's cool. If everyone can get confirmed ASAP.
It's the coolest thing he's done in 10 years.
Along with music, Q&A, food, signings, photos, and more. Maybe some special friends will attend. As long as all who are coming confirm with Steve, this is a go. Moreover, stop believing these triggered topics and phrases such as Vinny doesn't show up, Vinny can't play, and Vinny rips off his fans. These people need to grow the fuck up.
Wow.
I'm still not done.
It's not the people that see what's going on in reality. Those people are the fucking morons again.
Which means 99.9% of the Earth's population.
Or anybody that has eyes or ears.
Yeah. This is cleverly fabricated propaganda invented by the banished and rejected leeches who got the boot, who in desperation decided to slander the name of Vinnie Vincent to bring importance and relevance to themselves. I won't let my name be used to bring instant celebrity or credibility to the undeserving any longer. If you want to hear me play, you want proof, buy a ticket. That simple. Put your money where your big mouth is.
Oh, wow.
You don't get it for free, whether by demand, threat, intimidation, or challenge. So I will hopefully see my fans August 10th at my birthday party bash. Where we go from there will be by special invite. So if the birthday bash is a success, expect a private invitation to Speedball Jam next. To all the true fans, I send my love, Vinny.
Insane.
All right, so...
Wow.
Okay, so
Vinny
that...
Vincent, he's just the gift that keeps on giving, isn't he?
So listen, folks.
So let's backpedal this. So we're doing the Rockin' Pod Expo. It's happening August 9th and 10th at the Marriott Hotel by the airport here in Nashville.
Yep.
We've been planning this for a while. Mm-hmm. You know, this is the third year we're doing it.
Yes, we've done the event... The event has gone through both times in the last 2 years, and it will happen again.
And everybody that went to it was totally satisfied and had an awesome time both two first years.
Yes.
Last year, Vinnie Vincent was supposed to be a special guest at it, but through circumstance created by Vinnie Vincent, he was basically told, thanks but no thanks last year.
Yeah, because he tried to change things on me.
Right. So we've been through all that. Like I said, if you haven't gone through the archives and just listened to the whole saga that involves Decibel Geek and Vinnie Vincent, including the appearance on the show by Vinnie Vincent,
right,
you've got to go back and catch all that from the very beginning up to where it leads us today, because whoever thought that it would come to this far along.
Yeah, but
these
if you paid attention,
still happening.
If you paid attention, it makes total sense. If you just go by past history,
yeah, that is true.
So
it totally does. So now he comes back around and wants to know, hey, can I collaborate my party with Rockin' Pod 3 after fucking it all up for Rockin' Pod 2?
Right.
And you straight up, just like Rockin' Pod 2, told him thanks, but no thanks.
Yeah, I don't want to work with him again.
And then he comes back with that whole
Yeah, then he does this
thing.
And
it reminds
this
me of the first time. It reminds me of Rockin' Pod 2 when he came back with the whole big thing, calling you a fanboy and a hater in the same sentence.
Yeah.
That's
and he
work.
Lied about how everything went down.
Right. And
completely
now he's
lied.
Jumping,
and now he's doing
he's
it again.
He's jumping ahead and saying, oh, shit, he said no. Well, this is going to get out. I need to make some sort of statement to these 14 or 15 people that still might buy these tickets.
Yeah, and if you want to believe him,
but
more power to you.
I mean,
but
at this
I mean,
come on now. At this point, really, is there anybody left?
There's those people in those groups. Is all I. Is
but
all
how
I
many
figure.
People are we talking here?
It's probably less than a two dozen, I would think. It's
and they're just
many.
So brainwashed into the Vinnie Vincent thing that even after everything that's happened, even after every canceled event to this point, they still want to see Vinnie Vincent so bad.
Yeah.
That they support this and say, golly, that Vinnie Vincent, man, he's been screwed over by everybody he's ever come in contact with since day one.
And I used to be one of those people. I did. Before everything went down with us, I was like, well, maybe, you know, maybe he was the victim of a lot of this stuff, and maybe he's right. And then as history plays out,
and then you
I find out that everything people said about him is true. I mean, it's... Look, I didn't want it to wind up this way. I had high... he wanted us to do like an audio book and stuff for him and, you know, like talk about his book that he was going to do.
Yeah.
He had big plans with us. We have the recording of it. And then, you know, then he tries to pull this stuff on me and
everything
else. I mean,
we got the recording
else.
Of everything, honestly.
Yeah.
I mean, we've got the whole conversation recorded with Vinnie Vincent from Rockin' Pod 2 laying out exactly what he wanted, you know, guaranteeing us, promising that he would be there. So excited to be a part of it. I mean, we recorded it all.
And, you know, these people that are in these groups and that are trying to bash people that to question him, I don't give a shit if you like me or not. I really don't. You know, have at it. I don't care. You know, and our good friend Ralph Vieira, he's been targeted by them too. And, you know,
these people got bigger problems in their lives than Chris Sinzak and Ralph Vieira.
Who gives a shit? I do my expo. He does his birthday party. Good luck with your birthday party, but you're not going to work with me.
So this is still potentially in the works for this to all go down on the same day?
I guess. I mean, it sounds like he's saying it's gonna happen. But.
Wow. Well, I hope the Vinnie Vincent fans got like the $10 left over to be able to get into Rockin' Pod when they're let down and disappointed because nobody's answering the room 326.
I don't know, but if you don't want to attend the birthday bash for $300 is what I've heard, come to Rockin' Pod. It's $20 this year. It's cheap. It's easy to get into, and it's an all day party. There's a bunch of cool podcasts. There's a bunch of cool guests, including Michael Sweet from Striper, Brian Forsyth from Kix, Erie Vaughn from Danzig, Jack Gibson from Exodus.
That's right. And guess what? We're actually going to be there.
We're actually going to be there. And cool stuff's going to happen. It's going to be great, you know. And I'm not going to shred. I'll just put it out there
right now.
I am not going to do any shredding, I promise.
I'm sure there will be some shredding going on, especially Friday night.
Oh, yeah. But not by
it
me.
It won't be by us. So.
No, I leave that in more capable hands. So
if you are taking that huge, massive gamble on seeing Vinnie Vincent in a birthday hat and watching him blow out candles, then save the extra $20. Because then the whole weekend won't be a complete waste for you.
Yeah. And if you think I'm doing this to get on the opportunist wagon and try to promote my event against yours, I honestly wasn't even going to bring this up.
Well, no.
Until you put out that bullshit statement claiming that I came to you. That's not what happened.
Well, it's not like Vinnie Vincent's birthday party was scheduled a while back and he's earned the reputation of being somebody who's definitely going to show up for it. And then you decided to also run the expo that same day.
No. This was booked a long time ago. And to put a bow on this, in case anyone is like, well, yeah, but Chris might really want to work with him still. Let me give off a list of things that I would rather do than work with Vinnie Vincent ever again.
Okay, this should be interesting.
Number one, close my balls in a desk drawer.
Yeah, definitely.
That sounds more pleasurable than working with Vinny.
For sure.
I would also rather listen to Florida Georgia Line on repeat.
Oh, man, that's tough. But compared to working with Vinny Vincent?
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah. I don't know.
I would let Jeffrey Dahmer babysit my children before I would work with Vinny Vincent.
That's serious.
That is serious.
That's serious.
I would tuck my shirt into my jean shorts and eat chips on a microphone before I would work with Vinny Vincent. And if you get that joke, I'm sure you're laughing. If you don't worry about it. Yeah. I would attend a Vince Neil a cappella show before I work with Vinnie Vincent.
Oh, boy, that's tough.
I would become a Denver Broncos fan before I would work with Vinnie Vincent.
Wow, you love the Chiefs, man. That's a hell of a sacrifice. I know that's serious.
I would also mud wrestle Roseanne Barr before I would work with Vinnie Vincent.
Yeah, that's a given.
I bet I could sell more tickets to that. And finally,
Roseanne would show up.
And finally, and this is for my friends at the Cobras and Fire podcast, I would rather attend a wine tour with Jeff Tate driving me than work with Vinny Vincent.
Yeah, most definitely.
So yeah, so if that doesn't clear it up for you, I don't know what does. If I'm supposedly looking to capitalize off of his name, the fact that he's only selling a handful of tickets, I'm kind of misguided if I'm doing that, aren't I?
Right, yeah, because, I mean, the Rockin' Pod Expo will definitely outsell anything Vinny Vincent's got going on, if nothing else based on the fact that the first 2 years, we actually were there when people came up and wanted to enjoy the afternoon
and
the weekend with us. So,
yeah.
You know,
but yeah,
we're actually going to do it.
To fucking say that I came to you, that's a joke.
That is funny.
Anyone who knows me knows I will never work with that guy.
No. Again. No, I know that. I mean, you were the one the first year that said thanks, but no thanks.
Yeah.
You know, when
and
you
I was
started
done then.
Changing things up.
Yeah.
You know?
And that was the end of it for me.
So why would you go back to that again?
Not
why
happening.
Would you even take the chance?
Nope.
No matter how bad, you know, and that's always the sad thing for me when I look back on this whole adventure with the Vinnie Vincent thing since starting Decibel Geek. All we ever wanted was to help Vinny in any way we could to get him back to where he was coming out with music again. It started with jokes, and then it started with interviews, you know, and talking to different people and finding out, you know, the inside of Vinnie Vincent, you know, learning about the things that most people on the outside never really knew.
Yeah.
And then to all the point to going down to Atlanta and meeting him and working it out for him to come on the show.
Yep.
All we ever wanted was to give Vinnie Vincent a platform to be able to relaunch his career, you know, and do something awesome. And we would have been so proud to just have any little part that we could have took in the return of Vinnie Vincent to full form. If he would have come back, you know, done Rockin' Pod 2, came in there, was awesome, you know, met all the fans that kissed his butt all day long, just like
great.
In Atlanta.
Yeah.
It would have been a great time for him. And you know what? Even more valuable than just having a great time would be the reputation that he would have cemented by doing that. Mm-hmm. Then from there, you get your next appearance and you show up. And then you say, I'm going to do this show. And you show up and you do it. You know, I'm going to get on stage down in Miami and I'm going to play. Get up there and frickin' play. And people go, wow, you know. Look at Vinnie Vincent. You know, he has kept every obligation and appearance that he's agreed to. He's up on stage with, you know, 4x Fate kicking ass. He says he's going to come back and play, and when he says it, he does it. We've gone to these shows. They're awesome. How different would this whole thing be if Vinnie Vincent would only have one time held up his end?
Yeah.
What he was going to do.
But he hasn't done that at all.
And then, you know, it would have been year three, and Vinny would have been saying, look, man, I had such a great time at Rockin' Pod last year. I'd like to do a birthday bash and kind of tie it in with what you
then
got.
I would have been happy to work with them.
You know, of course.
But
we'd love to do that.
He burned the bridge, pun intended.
Because we are your demographic. We're the ones that are cheering for you. We're the ones that, you know, used to be one of the last people that actually believe in Vinny Vincent, you know, and one by one, we all got shown what believing in Vinny Vincent will get you, you know, and that makes me feel sad for the last handful that are left because what if Vinny Vincent showed up at the door and wanted to buy a ticket?
I'd tell him to go pound sand.
Would you really?
I would. Yeah. I don't want him there. I didn't want you there because I know you're listening. I did not want you there. But anyway, so that brings everybody up to speed.
Wow.
That's where we're at. I didn't expect to get contacted, and, you know, they contacted my co-organizer who passed it on to me, and then I said no, and then he went back and told them. That's how it happened.
That's crazy.
Believe
man.
Me or not, I don't give a shit.
Who would ever have thought that after all this? It's yep. amazing.
Yep. Wow. The saga that never seems to end.
So now we got to follow up that with some actual news stories.
Yeah, let's do it. So, Vinny fans, see. you can turn off the podcast now. Stick around for the rest if you want.
No, there's more Kiss, but I think we'll spread this one out because last time, like, the whole episode was Kiss and then a little bit of extra things at the end.
Right. Okay.
So we'll space it out. Let's see. What is in the news? Courtney Love says the Dirt movie is the dumbest.
She says, like, the worst Netflix documentary ever made or movie ever made. Nah, I've seen worse.
Only because she got kicked out of the cat house back in the day.
Yeah.
And they wouldn't let her in.
That's just her wanting a headline, and she got it.
She got it, because of course Motley Crue's going to respond to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Tommy Lee can't keep his mouth shut about anything. So.
I like the Dirt. I thought it was pretty cool.
It was entertaining. I mean, if you...
I wonder what she expected out of it to make her say it's the dumbest.
There were diehard Motley fans that were pissed off by, like, inaccuracies, and it wasn't long enough, and it didn't cover this and that. But it's like... They were making it for a general music fan. So, like, people that grew up and remember Motley Crue, that's who it's made for. So if you go in with that expectation, it's just a fun movie.
And the cool thing about it was it turned out a whole new generation to go back and explore Motley Crue, which that's the coolest thing about it.
Yeah, I wasn't disappointed, and I thought it was okay. It was fine for what it was.
Nobody wants to see a Courtney Love Netflix biopic like that.
No. I've seen plenty of documentaries about how she might have been involved with somebody's murder. But
yeah, and how she smells bad.
She smells bad.
That's what I heard.
Oh, okay.
Like Motley Crue, they purposely didn't take showers back in the day. Courtney Love, just a way of life.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. Just what I hear. This is the number one news source after all.
All right. What else?
Do you want to update on Duff McKagan? Listen to every other podcast.
Yeah, he actually played at the same venue that I was at last night.
That was wild to me, you know? Yeah. How tough is that to have to choose between two great shows when they're both happening at the same venue?
They both drew exceptionally well, though.
That's cool.
Yeah, it was
pretty full
for both.
I bet
there
was a lot of people that probably bought tickets to both, because the Rock and Roll Residency, that's right, the Ace Frehley band / Gene Simmons band, they were playing last night here in Nashville. Chris went to it.
Yep.
And, of course, they're going to be our awesome band helping us make the party happen the night before Rock and Pod Expo
on
excited. August 9th.
It's going to be fun.
Yep, so Duff McKagan, everywhere else. Metallica, talking about releasing Garage Days 2.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That was Toomey had posted something about that. I think that's cool.
Yeah, that sounds fun to me.
I think Metallica, you got to count them up there with one of the best cover bands of all time. Like, when they do a cover of something, it's usually better than the original.
Yeah, I love the Garage Days stuff. I think it's great stuff. Yeah, I would buy that for sure.
The only thing I never liked on Garage Days was the cover of the Bob Seger song.
Oh, Turn the Page?
Because it got to death.
Radio ruined it for everybody.
A poor radio DJ at that time. If I never hear that song again for the rest of my life, I'm okay.
You did like it at first, though, right?
I mean, it's cool. It's better than the original.
It's a pretty faithful cover. Just heavier. Yeah,
heavier. And that and Whiskey in the Jar.
I'd still like that.
That got played to death, too.
It did, but I still like it.
I can still handle that one better than I can the Turn the Page.
Yeah, that one, I mean, radio just ruined it.
To be on radio when that song came out, it was like every hour. Every hour on the hour, the new Metallica cover of Bob Seger.
Yeah.
It's an old classic you love, done by Metallica.
I think I still like the original.
And also coming up next, it's the new song by Metallica, it's Turn the Page.
Yeah.
And then after that, we're going to play it again.
Yeah.
Golly, those were tough times.
Well, radio's no different.
When the rest of the album had some really cool stuff on it.
Yeah.
So, looking forward to that.
Yeah, it should be cool.
To see what songs they do.
I like it.
All right, want to intersperse a little Kiss news?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, Paul Stanley says the return of Ace and Peter and Kiss is not completely out of the question.
Oh, yeah, it is.
I don't think so.
They're not going to have them
back. I've said it before. I'm going to say it again. You guys mark it down on the calendar and remember when I said this.
Yeah.
When Kiss is done with this current tour, when they're done with the tour that they're on right now.
All right.
Ace and Peter are coming back, and they're going to do it again.
No, they're not.
It's the Kiss way.
They will not.
It is the Kiss
way.
They're
too old, man. They're not going to do it.
They're going to do it.
And they don't get along. Paul Stanley despises Peter Criss.
Doesn't matter.
It totally matters.
There's money to be made.
They've made more money than they'll ever spend in their grandchildren's lives. They don't need the money.
As long as we've known Kiss, does that ever matter?
At their age, I think it does.
I don't know.
I don't think Paul wants to work with those guys ever, and especially after Ace with that ridiculous gloves are off statement. I think that sealed the deal for him.
I mean, that was
They're not
going to
work with those guys again, man.
They're going to do some special shows
At the most, it would be like a one-off appearance maybe for the absolute last show in New York. That might be it. But there's definitely not going to be a tour. I'll guarantee you that.
So then I guess the real question is Ace Frehley willing to shave his beard?
To get back in makeup and
glorious,
play with Kiss?
Awesome beard.
Oh, I'm sure he would.
I guess he would.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm telling you, that's the way it's going to go.
I saw this on Kiss FAQ the other day. Somebody brought up, like, what if Kiss said, okay, you can come back, but you have to sing When Lightning Strikes. Do you think he would do it?
No.
I don't think he would either.
I don't think he would. He'd be like, what the fuck is wrong with you guys?
Well, they're going to say, Tommy did your song. You should do Tommy's song.
Yeah, Tommy didn't really want to do Shock Me, but, you know, he bit the bullet and did it for Kiss. Yeah. What are you willing to do to be the spaceman?
Yeah. I don't think he would.
Not that.
It's an interesting question, though.
Yeah. Paul Stanley also said Sonic Boom and Monster aren't considered classics.
Well, they're not.
Yet.
Nah, they're not. And they probably won't be. I mean, but to be fair, there are a lot of younger people that got into Kiss during those years.
Right, so when they're older.
To them, it might be.
Right, yeah. So to a small portion of the Kiss populace, there's going to be those people that came in when those albums were new.
It's all about
your
age.
That were only introduced to Kiss with that current era lineup. And they're going to be like, those albums were special to me because when I was 14 years old, I was a child out of time.
Yeah.
You know, and I shouldn't have been into Kiss, but I was.
That's why I love Crazy Nights. I know everybody else looks at me like I'm insane, but I love it because of when I got into it.
Right.
That's just like me
being a little tiny kid listening to Kiss records. I was a child out of time, too.
Yeah.
It was just a different time. You know, so that is interesting. And there is some validity in that, to say, because it's funny to laugh at that at first. Say, those two albums aren't classics yet.
Yeah, but I mean,
they will be.
How do you really define a classic?
To a person. To a certain person, those will be.
Yeah, it's personal opinion.
All right. Let's see. Get away from Kiss. What's going on with Tool? Is Tool finally coming out with a new album?
They claim they are, but I don't know.
We hear about this every year.
It's been like a decade since they put a record out.
It's like they're going to, I don't know. It's weird. It's kind of like the old Chinese democracy thing.
Yeah. I don't know.
I hope it can live up to the hype.
It'll sound like Tool. I guarantee that.
Well, then that's probably not a bad thing.
I mean, you know what you're going to get when a Tool puts an album out. I don't know. I would like to hear it because I do like Tool, and I think it'd be cool to hear a new record by them, but.
Yeah,
I'm not going to hold my breath because people have been holding their breath every year. They tease like it's going to happen, and then it doesn't.
It never does.
So maybe this is the year.
Huh, that'd be cool.
I don't know if you have this on your list, but I want to bring it up while I'm thinking about it. Uh-huh. Did you hear about what Slash said recently?
No.
New Guns N' Roses music is being recorded this year.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so it is going to happen.
Oh, right on.
Yeah, they're going to record a record together.
Oh, man. One more year that I was wrong, so maybe next year it should come out.
Well, it's Guns N' Roses. Who the hell knows when it'll come out?
Yeah.
But they are getting together and working on it.
That's good. That's a real good sign. Hopefully nothing gets in the way of that.
Yeah. I hope they bring Izzy.
Get out of the way.
I hope Izzy gets to be part of the writing session. Because that would definitely bring a lot back to them.
Yeah, because Izzy was such a huge hand in the writing of Appetite for Destruction that...
Even if he's not in the band, bring him in to write.
Yeah, let him write some songs.
Yeah,
I'm scared it's just going to be, this is a bunch of stuff I had left over from Chinese Democracy, and I'm going to let you guys play on it.
I don't think Slash would do that. I think Slash is going to want input if they do.
But even Duff said that time, Axl's got a bunch of songs, and they're really cool.
Oh, no. Well, who knows what it'll sound like.
I hope not.
They need all of them to contribute.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Have you heard about the awesome new children's book, Where's Lemmy?
No.
They're making a book called Where's Lemmy. It's going to be kind of based on the old Where's Waldo.
I like it.
Someday, if I get myself a book table, like an end table thing, I'm going to have to get that to put out on it.
I'd buy it just for the concept alone.
That's so cool.
That's hilarious.
What a great idea. Where's Lemmy?
I'm guessing there's going to be a lot of black in the pictures if it's going to try to make it difficult for Lemmy to be found.
That's right. Here, find Lemmy inside the rainbow bar and grill.
Or maybe it's the opposite.
Oh, man, all the lights are out in here. I can't see nothing.
Maybe it's the opposite. It'll all be lighthearted stuff, and it'll just be obvious.
Yeah, Lemmy will be in the middle. Yeah. Find Lemmy at Wimbledon.
I like that. Lemmy at Wimbledon.
There's one black spot in the middle of this whole white picture. That'd be great, too.
That's awesome.
Let's see. Sebastian Bach is going on tour, and it starts here in Nashville. I'm excited for that. We definitely got to go. Where he is performing the entire first debut album of Skid Row in its entirety for its 30-year anniversary, which is pretty awesome. And he's also said... He's more than willing to allow anyone, I guess not allow, but he's welcoming any member of Skid Row from the past, from that classic lineup, to join him on stage anywhere along the line.
And I'm sure that may be why he book Nashville for the first date because he's hoping
Rachel
and Snake
up.
At least will show up and play with him because they both live here. So
I mean, that would be pretty cool. But then I got to think from the other side of that, if they're going to do that, why wouldn't Rachel and Snake book Skid Row and have
Which is why I don't think it's going to happen. I just don't see those guys getting back together anymore.
I think it'd be great.
I do too.
Could get up there and play a couple of songs with Sebastian Bach and not kill him in the course of those couple of songs. And it's one of those things too where it's like you read some of these things from Sebastian Bach and you think, you know, cool, what a great idea, you know, extend the olive branch to the old band and see if maybe they'll show up and do it. That'd be great. But then he's always got to say things like, I don't think that'll ever happen, but, you know, and then it makes it sound like, you know they ain't going to do it, but you're trying to, you know, give the perception that you're the good guy reaching out the olive branch. But I don't think they'll do it. Don't say that shit. Yeah. Just be like, I hope they do. You know, and if they don't, I'd be disappointed. But
it would be cool.
But it'd be, I'm open to it. Yeah. I'm, you know, no obligations, whatever. Show up. I know you guys know the songs. I know the songs. We're the band that created them. Just show up and do it. Don't be snide about it.
And
be humble.
I think it'll do well even without the other guys.
I think so too.
I think it'll sell
definitely.
Well because people want to hear all that stuff. I think it'll be, I'm looking forward to going.
When he does, when he plays out in L.A., he's doing two nights at the Whiskey A Go-Go. The first night, he's doing the debut album. The second night, he's doing Slave to the Grind.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
That's super cool.
I wish I could see that.
Yeah, no kidding.
I'd love to hear both of those.
Yeah, if you're out in L.A., get tickets for both those
that's
nights.
That's great.
Let's see. What else? What else? Oh, here's some old news that's new news.
Yeah.
But it ain't new news to me. There's something going on in Australia called the Orchestra of Doom. It's going to be Whitfield Crane along with an orchestra, and they're doing Ozzy and Sabbath tunes.
That
makes
sense.
Pretty cool, happening in Australia. And then not too long after or before that, I'm not sure exactly, there's the big Rockfest festival going on in Helsinki. It's going to have Kiss, Slipknot, Def Leppard, Disturbed, Turbo Negro, and Ugly Kid Joe. Yeah, awesome. Australia and Helsinki.
Yep.
What's the news here? Ugly Kid Joe still hates America. Why? Why do you hate us so bad, Ugly Kid Joe?
They must.
All we want to do is enjoy you in concert like the rest of the world gets to. Why can't we have Ugly Kid Joe in concert? Why?
I'm sure they're assuming they won't sell tickets well here. That's got to be what it is. I mean, if they thought there was a demand, they would be here, I'm sure.
I guess, but damn it, you know? It makes me feel bad because, you know, I have good conversations with Metal Mike about this. Every time something new gets announced, it's like, yep, here's Ugly Kid Joe doing this awesome thing in another country that we can't go to.
But they don't want to come to a club, and you and Metal Mike are the only two people in front of the stage.
We would make up for it. Me and Metal Mike, just the two of us. We'd be louder than a whole crowd.
I mean, it's been this many years at this point. If they finally decided to do it, I think it would do okay just on the fact that they've been gone so long.
Right, you know? You know, the first American tour by Ugly Kid Joe in 50 years, it seems like.
And there's some nostalgia for that stuff.
I would think so. Maybe, hopefully, it's just one of them things that, you know, they're hoping that by teasing and making people want it so bad, because I want it so bad, I don't care where they play. I would have to plan a vacation around it.
You would?
I would have to tell my wife, oh, hey, we're going to New York, you know, on vacation. Oh, that's great. Oh, by the way, Saturday night, we got to go see Ugly Kid Joe.
This is like, now I know why you want to go to New
York. I would have to do something like that because
it's gotten to the
point where it's like you're afraid if you don't go see them, if they ever decide to play the States, if you miss it. Mm-hmm. Who knows when the next time you'll ever have the opportunity again. And I know there's enough Ugly Kid Joe fans here in the United States that should want to go out and see this band if they ever came here.
Maybe package them with another band that, you know, from the era or something.
As long as they're headlining. As long as they get a full awesome set, you know, for the people that have been Ugly Kid Joe starved.
Well, I'm a promoter. Now maybe you should throw your hat in the ring and be a promoter and bring them to America.
No, man.
It's so much fun to promote, let me tell you.
I see the issues it causes for you. Ugly Kid Joe's got a few more fans than Vinnie Vincent. I don't need that headache.
I'm just playing.
I know.
It'd be interesting to see him play.
Maybe you should book him at Rockin' Pod 4.
To fly everybody from overseas?
Force them. Yes.
They'd be an expensive ride.
Yeah, it would be.
I don't think I could afford Ugly Kid Joe to come.
Golly, you got
to
fly us from Sydney.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a shame.
And no one uses the Ugly Kid Joe name capitalized for free. Let me get that clear.
That's right.
Yeah.
No, we wouldn't do it for free.
Well, for fuck's sake. All right.
Okay, what else?
We got anything else?
Tommy Thayer takes issue with Ace Frehley saying the current Kiss can't sell out Madison Square Garden.
That's a misleading headline.
Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I only saw the headline.
He didn't say he takes issue with it. There's actually, I saw it on Facebook, but it's a video of Tommy and Eric backstage at Sweden Rock this past weekend, and they're out of makeup and just hanging out. It's way early in the day. And this guy's interviewing them, and it's a really funny interview. There's some good stories in it. And but at one point, you know, they're like, he's guy asks, you know, how about the tour? How's it going? Everything. And then Tommy's like, yeah, we're doing great. You know, we had a, you know, we've had great sales. You know, we sold out Madison Square Garden. And he looked at the camera and smiled. And I'm sure it was a dig at Ace, but it's not like he's like, I take issue with what Ace is. It wasn't that at all. He was just, he had a polite little dig at him. That's all it was. And I don't blame him. I mean, they did sell it out.
You can't do it. And then you do, you pull it off. Of course, you're going to wink at and the camera and be like, yeah, suck it.
I love Ace, but he's just got to stop talking about Kiss.
He does.
Just let it go and enjoy your solo career.
I know you're having fun out there with the guys from the Rock and Roll Residency. I know you're putting on some of the best performances of your entire solo career. Be cool with that, you know.
Yeah,
just be happy with that. Don't worry about
Kiss. He comes off looking terrible.
When the end
stuff.
Of this tour is over, they'll come back around to you. You guys can do your big final tour, just like I always predicted you would. You probably already know about it. Like, let's make up some drama in the media again between each other. That way, when we do make our announcement that this is going to happen, nobody will suspect that this has been 2 years in the making already.
You sound like one of those people in the Vinnie Vincent fan group.
It's like a Kiss conspiracy.
You're trying to come up with some kind of roundabout way of, it's going to happen. You know what this means. Ace
That's
is
right.
back.
Yeah. That's right. I need to start an insane group for Facebook Ace Frehley fans.
Yeah, and
we can make
insane.
All kinds of Kiss conspiracies. Sounds like so much fun.
With a K, of course.
Let's see. What else? What else? The Ronnie James Dio hologram has been on the road. A lot of different response to it. Some good, some bad.
Yeah.
I saw a thing where Jizzy Pearl had posted about it because the Awesome Love Hate has been opening for those shows. And he said it was pretty impressive, everything that goes into making that happen. And then I read the responses to it, and some of them were pretty harsh.
Ralph went and saw the first show on the tour because they did it in Florida, and he drove up for it.
Yeah.
And his review basically was he was more impressed by the audio of Ronnie's voice they had pumping through the speakers.
Right.
They got, like, pristine audio of his voice for the songs.
That's the most
important
part,
really. He said that gave him chills. He's like, the hologram was just kind of like, he could take it or leave it. It was like, it was interesting, but it wasn't great and wasn't awful.
I guess the music truly is the most important part of that.
But, you know, they've got Oney Logan and Ripper Owens also singing on the show, so they all kind of trade off on the vocals. And he said it was an entertaining show.
Are you talking about Ripper Owens, who hates Stephen King?
Yeah, apparently.
That's weird.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's a lot of talk about that right now. I think it's cool. I'd see it if it came to Nashville.
It's a unique thing.
Personally, I would much, much rather see Love Hate doing a full-on headlining set. You know, all Love Hate songs, not cut short opening for anybody.
Just like the thing where they show up and they're like, I specifically told them that it's supposed to say Love Hate then the hologram.
That's right. That's the way it should be.
Do they have to share the dressing room with the hologram? Maybe the hologram gets a bigger dressing room than they get. I don't know.
I can't believe the hologram gets a bigger dressing room than us.
Anytime I can quote Spinal Tap, it's always good.
That's funny. let's see. Clutch is working on some new music. Those guys, they can't. I mean, they just came out with Book of Bad Decisions, which was a great album. And they go home and they get bored and they're like, all right, let's go do something
just,
new.
Clutch album never tour, stops. Album tour, album tour, over and over.
Again, how cool is that? How tough is it to be a Clutch fan? You know,
it's not tough at all.
Golly, my band, you know, they come out with too much music. I can't barely keep up. Wow, what a problem to have.
They're pretty prolific with their stuff.
And everything they come out with is pretty awesome, great.
Definitely have their own sound.
Let's see. What else? What else? I seen that Stryper had done a couple Firehouse tunes or something like that. Or they played a Firehouse song.
They do All She Wrote.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, they do like five or six covers in their set. It's basically originals and songs that either influence them. And I'm sure the All She Wrote thing is for Perry.
Yeah,
you know,
that's what I'm saying. It's pretty cool to see that Perry. Yeah. I mean, obviously, they must be loving having Perry in the band.
They are.
If they're saying, hey, man, you want to do a Firehouse tune?
Yeah.
Oh, like, shit, yeah, man, I would.
Although, if it was a Firehouse tune and I was picking the song, I would pick Reach for the Sky. I think that would be a cool one to hear them do
that
live.
That would be pretty cool.
And I got to give props to David Hudson and his co-host with Digital Killed the Radio Star. They did an incredible interview with the whole band at Graceland in Memphis when they did their tour stop. stop. And it, they asked some amazing questions.
It was fun.
It was one of the best interviews I've ever heard with the band. So go listen to that if you get a chance.
Right on. That's cool.
Yep.
Love it. Looking forward to seeing Michael Sweet at Rock and Pop.
Yeah.
You know,
it's going to be cool.
Looking forward to doing the big Soldiers Under Command, Albums Unleashed, live in front of an audience.
That'll be great.
We had so much fun with Keel and
Michael
Wagner last year.
Yeah.
This is going to be a blast, too.
Yeah, it's going to be fun.
Let's see. That's all I've got written down. Okay. Anything else off the top of your head?
I think that pretty well covers it for now. You know, obviously, as I said at the top, you know, believe whatever you like, but I don't care. You know, if you want to believe the ramblings of that guy, feel free. It's not going to change my day at all.
So strange. What a long, strange trip it's been with this guy.
Yeah. It really has.
Damn it, Vinny. Why didn't you just do what we all hoped that you would do?
We should see if Rock and Ron can do like a super long video with like every special all the way through this, like in one video. If you ever want to listen to the whole saga, you could listen to the whole thing.
That's a lot.
I wonder how many hours that would come to.
Quite a few.
Yeah, it would be a lot.
It would definitely be
20 hours, maybe.
Definitely be the world's longest podcast about Vinny Vincent.
Well, that's for sure.
But that's what we already are.
Yeah. But yeah, anyway, thanks you guys for listening, and come to Rockin' Pod in August. I'm going to keep promoting it because it's what I do, and we really would love to see you. I'd love to see Decibel Geek listeners come out. It would be awesome.
Definitely. We always have so much fun whenever we're out and about and we run into somebody that knows the show, that listens to the show. You got to do that a few times last night. We got to do that when we went and seen Ace Frehley. Pretty much every show we go to, we run into somebody that knows Decibel Geek, and that makes us feel so good.
Yeah.
And the fact that you guys support us, if you're Decibel Geek VIPs, you got the Torpedo Dudes coming your way, you've got Chris and Aaron shows coming, all kinds of cool stuff you can be involved in, and we appreciate each and every one of you so much, and that's not news, that's a fact, you know, so love that, because we love it. And so no birthday party, huh?
Well, mine's in November.
Oh, yeah, mine's in May.
Okay.
So mine's already passed.
I'll schedule mine for the Nashville Marriott.
I didn't really have a party this year. Maybe I'll, you know, book my birthday that weekend, too.
Okay.
It's everybody's birthday in Nashville on August 9th and 10th when you join us for Rockin' Pod. Everybody's invited. Everybody's birthday is celebrated.
All right. Well, thanks, guys, for listening, and we'll see you next week.
See ya.
Duff McKagan here, Guns N' Roses. You're listening to Decibel Geek Podcast. Hosted by a guy that gets his hair done. Ha at Brett Michaels Beauty Salon and Bandana Emporium of Nashville. And another, that's a Vinnie Vincent historian. Knows more about the lady than the lady's own mother. And don't worry about staying on a download schedule. These guys post shows on a schedule that's later than Axl taking the stage in the 90s. More time for coke and chicks and vodka and listening to my new album. It sucks. Decibel Geek Podcast. Party on, pass the coke.